there. Welcome to the North Shore Church Podcast. We are delighted that you've decided to take this step of faith and join us for the next few moments together as we explore one of the messages from our Sunday morning gatherings or special event given to you by one of our pastors or special guests. We trust that you can connect with us through the show notes or through our website, thenorthshore.church. Well, this is actually a good time. I mean, I meant to put that in my notes because today's topic, as you've seen on the screen and see in the handout, we're talking about hearing God's voice. And, you know, I'd like to say I don't do anything without hearing from God. That's not always true. I'm not going to tell you stories and give you examples, but I'm sure you've had an experience in your own life where you heard from God and did something different. Or you did something on your own, and then you heard from God and realized you were wrong and said, oh, I should have maybe prayed about that first. I should have maybe sought counsel about that first. And some of us are just so in step with the Spirit of God that we think what God thinks and we just do it, and it's just the way it is. So that's very rare, though. So just be careful if that's you, because you might find yourself wrong. And anyways, let's jump in the notes here. But have you ever had the question, was that God or was that just me? Have you ever had that thought in your head? Wrote something, maybe it sounded really smart, looked really good, and go, was that God or was that just, you know, me? Was that just my emotions or was that God? Or was that God or is this just what I really want? Because if I really want something, I can easily convince myself this is what God wants for me. Right? This is the things that we say in our head. Was that God or was that just the food poisoning I got from the night before? I felt it in my gut, but that was not God. That might have been food poisoning. That might have just been eating too much before going to sleep. That might have been just watching that movie before going to bed, and it wasn't God. It was just the movie talking. Well, let's be honest. Sometimes it's hard to tell what God's voice is when he speaks. Sometimes it's hard to know, was that God? And so I'm going to be very practical. Very spiritual. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not a long message today. You've heard me say that before, but I truly believe it and mean it today. It's not very long. It's very simple, very basic. But we all know it's hard to tell when it's hard to hear God's voice sometimes. And so here's what makes it so powerful. And here's the question I want us to be able to answer and hopefully help you out today. What if you could actually know what God is saying to you? Because I believe that you can. You can actually know what God is saying to you. And number two, what if you could ask God a question and recognize his voice when he speaks? You don't have to leave, by the way. She can stay here and make lots of noise. It's all good. We love her. Right, everybody? Nod your head. Yeah, okay. Say. Thanks. But the good news is I believe that you can, because we're in this series called He Promises, and we're looking at what Jesus said, and Jesus made a promise to us. He said that we would know his voice. And if you don't believe me, you don't have to, but we can believe the scripture when it says in John chapter 10, 2-4, it says, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because he knows his voice." I learned something fascinating the other day about this verse and about this concept of a shepherd in Jerusalem versus, a shepherd in Ireland. And, you know, this is like when we think of like a sheep and a sheepdog and a shepherd, and we think of like Ireland or Scotland, these rolling green hills and just sheep baaing everywhere. That's what I always think anyway. But if you've ever been to Israel, there's not rolling green hills of grass and sheepdogs and sheep everywhere. No, it's a desert. And so we've been through this before in our Psalm 23 series, but we know that, you know, the shepherd would lead the sheep. And he would lead them through the mountain, and he would go around the mountain. Because if you know what, if you ever climbed a mountain, most times you can't climb straight up the mountain, right? It's too hard, too steep, the rocks are too loose, so you have to go around the mountain, or like a switchback on a mountain, right? You know what I'm, you follow what I'm saying? And so this is what would happen. The shepherd would lead the sheep on the safe paths or Psalm 23 says, paths of righteousness. And the sheep would follow. And what would happen is, as the Mediterranean Sea, the warm, humid air would blow off the sea, it would come up to the mountain, and that moisture would provide just enough moisture for the seeds on that hill to grow into plants and grow into enough grass for those sheep to eat. And then they would deplete sort of those resources, and then they would move again around the mountain. And the shepherd would lead them to places of nourishment. And so we have this image in our head of sort of the maybe more Western way of shepherding, where you'd have a sheepdog and the shepherd just yelling, the dog kind of corralling the sheep and harnessing them. Whereas in Israel, the shepherd would not yell at the sheep. He wouldn't just call out, wouldn't have a sheepdog. He would just get to know the sheep from the time that they were lambs, and they would know his voice, and they know if they followed the shepherd that they would get the nourishment and the food and the water that they need. And so Jesus paints this picture for his disciples when he says that the shepherd is the gatekeeper of the sheep, and the sheep know his voice. Jesus promises to us that we will know the voice of the Lord. And so if you ask the question, is it possible to hear God speak? The answer is yes. I can hear the voice of the Lord. Jesus is the good shepherd. We are his sheep. And by the way, the sheep know his voice. This isn't wishful thinking. This isn't reserved for super spiritual people. It's not just reserved for pastors or worship leaders or church planters. It's reserved for the people of God. Those who would call themselves followers of Jesus have access to the voice of God. Now, we get into the spiritual gifts. We did this a year ago. We'll have that made available to you again, and we can explore some of those things again. Some people, they have a really incredible spiritual gift and insight to hear from the Lord and help interpret what God says. We call it the gift of prophecy. And we praise God for those gifts. But all of us have access to the voice of God when he speaks. Whether he speaks to us about ourselves, about our families, about our church, about our community, about a friend, we have access to the voice of God. But in all honesty, sometimes it still feels difficult to hear the voice of God. Because we wrestle with the questions, was that really God, or is that just my desire? Is this really God, or is this just a distraction? Was that Satan, or was this God? So what do we do to discern his voice? How do we know when God speaks? Well, first thing I want to say is, if you want to hear God speak, ask God to speak. Like, it's that simple. God, I would like to hear your voice. Would you simply speak? Now, you may get blessed with the voice of heaven. You may hear an audible voice of God. I know, and I've met people that have. I have never heard the audible voice of God. I really wish he would some days. But it really is as simple as just asking God to speak. Before you ever try to figure out what God's will is for your life, invite him to speak into your life. I'll say that again in case you missed it. Before you ever try to figure out, before you ever ask, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Start by inviting him to speak. But let me give you this warning. If you ask God to speak, he will speak. And it will be what we call a dangerous prayer. We did a series a couple years ago on dangerous prayers. Because you may not like what God has to say when he starts speaking. You may hear something you weren't expecting to hear. So, for example, 1 Samuel, young lad, miracle baby. Mom brings him to the temple, dedicates him to the Lord, and says to the priest, the high priest, here's my son who is a gift to me by a miracle. I want him dedicated to the Lord, so I'm giving him to you to raise in the Lord's house. And so Samuel, young boy, serving in the temple, scripture tells us and says to us, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now let that mean something to us today, because some of us know all about God. Some of you might think you know more about God than I do. Some of you might actually know more about God than I do. But there's a difference between knowing all about God, all about the house of the Lord, and actually knowing God. So, who can I pick on today? Who wants to pick on the newlyweds? Anybody? So we celebrate Mark and Leah in their wedding last weekend. We praise God for them. And they've told this story publicly, so I'll tell it to you. Mark asked Leah out, and she said no. So Mark tried again. And he got to know her this time. And as he got to know her, she finally said yes. And now they're married. Anyways, that's the quick version. We can know all about somebody, but until we have that moment of introduction, it could come off as creepy. Could come off as uncomfortable, kind of like they're feeling right now as I keep pointing them out. Could come off as a stalker. I'll stop with the thesaurus now. We call that love in this situation. And I will just, not to prolong it too far. When she said no, he respected the boundary and then continued to pursue her as a gentleman should. Can we say that's fair, right? And that's fair, Leah? She's nodding her head. She said yes to Miriam. So, you know, these are, there's boundaries and we follow those boundaries. Okay, we got that. There's a difference between knowing all about God and knowing God himself. And this was Samuel. Samuel, you know, young boy, his mom prayed to the Lord. Incredible story of his birth. He's a miracle baby, so he knows all about God, but he doesn't know the voice of the Lord yet. And so one night as he's in the temple living there now, and he goes to bed and he hears this voice call his name, Samuel. He gets up, he goes to Eli, the chief priest, and he says, Eli, what does he want, my master? What is it that you need? And he says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed, boy. Samuel goes back to bed, and he hears his voice again. Samuel, he gets up, goes to Eli. Yes, sir, we called. What do you want? I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Third time, Samuel goes back to sleep. The Lord calls him again. Samuel. Finally goes to Eli, again, you called. And then Samuel is there and Eli is there and Eli realizes what's going on. He says, you're hearing the voice of God. So he says in 1 Samuel 3:9, go and lie down. If he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. This is the posture that we take, right? What an amazing time to hear God. Just middle of the night, just honest, young, just pure, wants to just serve the Lord. And he says, okay, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So in the middle of the night, in the middle of going about your day, in the middle of the stress, in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the blessing, in the middle of joy, take the posture and pause. Just have a moment. Set some time in your day and just go, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Now, here's the part we don't like to talk about in Samuel's story, because God begins to speak. And I said, sometimes when God speaks, he says things we don't want to hear. And we call that a dangerous prayer, because sometimes when we pray, God asks us to do things that are outside of our comfort zone. God asks us to do things that require sacrifice. God asks us to do things that require more time, more effort, more energy. God calls us to give something up that we enjoy, not because he doesn't want us to enjoy it, but he's just got something better for us to enjoy on the other end, because that's the way his kingdom and his blessing works. And when we pray dangerous prayers, sometimes God speaks and he says things we don't want him to say. And we can all get behind that. Yeah, God, your kingdom come as on earth as it is in heaven. So we know that if we're going to pray, we know that God's going to speak and it's going to push us to be something that we're not yet. And God's going to make us there and get us there. And that's all exciting and get behind that. But what do we do when God speaks a warning of judgment like he did to Samuel? And you end up in my office going, God told me this. And I go, I don't think that was God. I think that was just your, no. What do we do? Here's just the word of warning. Don't ask God to speak if you don't actually want to hear what he has to say. And sometimes you'll pray and you'll feel like you hear nothing. You put up your hand. Anyone pray and hear nothing? You're like, okay, come on, God. Like, let's go. Yeah, 100 times, 1,000 times. I did all the right things, and sometimes we hear nothing. But don't miss this. Just because you aren't hearing what God is saying doesn't mean he's not speaking. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor Gary? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. The more you listen, the more you learn to recognize his voice. Because sometimes there's just things we don't want to hear. If you've ever been a kid and you have a parent, there's things as a kid you don't want to hear. I had this conversation with one of our kids the other day. Well, I don't really like when daddy's angry. Okay? Do you mean when daddy is angry for no reason, or do you mean when you get in trouble for not doing something you should have done? Oh. I don't like when daddy's angry. And I say, because sometimes you're right. Sometimes daddy is unfair. Sometimes daddy is angry or upset, and he's louder than you want him to be. And that's, yeah, I understand. I hear that. But sometimes you don't do what you were supposed to do, which is something you do every single day. And daddy's not angry, loud, yelling, but he's firm and says what you're supposed to do. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Oh, okay, great. The more you listen, the more you recognize the voice of God. By the way, read through Samuel. You'll find out what God said to Samuel. And just imagine how difficult of a position Samuel found himself in when he had to go tell Eli about how evil his sons were. But that's a story for another day. Sometimes God says things we don't want to hear. Number two, listen to what God says. If you want to hear the voice of God, listen to what God says. Because sometimes we aren't hearing doesn't mean God isn't speaking. Sometimes it's because God has spoken and we ignored him in the past. And that's what we're getting at too. Listen to what he says. Jeremiah 33, 3. He says, call to me and I will answer you. We know that God is a relational God. We've talked about this. We've experienced it. We preach it often. God wants to be in a relationship with us. It's why he sent Jesus Christ in the first place. He says, call to me and I will answer you. God speaks. The question is God speaking? The question is, am I listening? And so how does God speak? Well, in the most reliable way, God speaks through his word. If someone gives you a message and said, I heard from God, and it contradicts something in here, just say, thank you, you're wrong. Right? Because God will never give a word that contradicts what's in here. We can discover that together later. It's the most reliable way. He never says anything that contradicts Scripture. He may speak through other people. He may speak through wise counsel. He may speak by God's grace through one of my sermons, by a pastor from another church, from a YouTube video, or a church maybe that you watch later or before. I'm gonna put someone else on the spot here this morning. I found out that my preaching is not very good because Jim says he watches Andy Stanley before he comes to church so that he knows he gets fed that day. I'm putting words in his mouth. He didn't say it like that. He was very kind. But God can speak through these guys. God can speak through circumstances, open doors, closed doors. And I get a little bit like, eh. But, you know, sometimes that's the way God works, and we just accept that God does what God does. God speaks through the Holy Spirit, through prompting, through nudges, just that feeling that you know that, not like the gut feeling, but the spiritual gut feeling. And if you've experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't experienced it, one day you might, and then you'll know what I'm talking about. Other times, we just see it through the peace and confirmation. The hardest is when it's like chaos and craziness. I love those moments because when God speaks, it's like the world is just spinning around. Like if you just stand, you can just see everything of your life, just a mess. And yet in the middle of that, as God speaks, you just experience this incredible amount of peace. I mean, that's a beautiful, it's like, it sucks, right? Because it means that life is just a nightmare. But at the same time, in the middle of that, you can experience an incredible peace of God when he speaks. Let me keep going, though. God speaks different ways to different people at different times in different seasons. I gave you the parent example a minute ago, but it's just like a parent. If you have multiple kids, sometimes you have to speak to your kids differently because your kids are different. I don't know if you know this, but they might be all your kids, but they're different. I have three, and all three of them, they have a lot of similarities, but all three of them are different. And so who am I to think that God's going to speak to all of us the same way? Some of us are more stubborn, and we need just a good kick, and I'm one of those people. 2x4 over the side of the head would work too. Imagine a TV interview. You've probably all seen it, and the host has the little earpiece in, right? And they're doing the interview. Person on screen is talking, but the producer's speaking into the earpiece, saying, "Hey, just get this right." And they're guiding the moment, giving direction, directing the interviewer. "Hey, ask this question. You know, say this now. Pause." I would love to have someone in my ear sometimes, because there's things that I say that I shouldn't. And it's just like, "Hey, stop talking, Gary." Yeah. Some of you wish you could have the microphone into my ear. And just no one more than my wife, of course. But somehow sometimes that's how God speaks. And we give room for God to speak. If we don't pause long enough, then maybe we miss it. It's not always loud, not always dramatic. Sometimes it's just a quiet voice saying, like in Isaiah 30:21, "This is the way, walk in it." The full verse is this: "Whether you turn to the right, turn to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" I mean, I love those moments, right? I mean, and this isn't, for me, this doesn't happen very often. But I mean, if you've ever been lost in the bush, that's when you want God to speak. Which way to go? Left or right? The only thing worse than being lost in the bush is to be lost in the city, stuck in traffic. But that's another story. Now, I personally prefer very direct communication, like the most clear communication possible. I hate when people are like, "Wink, wink, nudge, nudge," like, "You know what I'm saying?" No, I don't know what you're saying. Just direct. But of course, I'm a very passive communicator. And I just sit here like, "You should just know what I'm thinking right now. You should just know what I'm trying to say and how I feel." But of course, you don't, because I don't say it very well. It's why I have notes here this morning. But when I read Samuel, it tells me, pause, listen, and wait. I always like to just go do something, be busy, like, "What's next? What's next?" And it's hard for me just to pause and just stop and listen. "Okay, Lord, your servant is listening." So number three, I was alluding to this just a minute ago. Number three, if you want to hear the voice of God, do what he tells you to do. Luke 11:28, he replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." I don't mind hearing, that's fine, but obey it. Sometimes the reason we don't hear from God is because we didn't do the last thing he told us to do. It's kind of like if you've ever been in an escape room before, if you ever know what that is, like it's kind of like builds, or if you played a video game and there's different levels, you can't skip a level, right? You can't just play like level one and go, "This is boring, I'm just going to jump to level two." But you have to go through the game. Escape room, you have to go through the clues to get the next clue. And if we, not to get too far, analogy will fall apart if I keep going, but the reason sometimes we don't hear from God is just because we didn't listen to the last thing that he told us to do. And then we have this humbling moment. I wrote down, sometimes we can become educated beyond our obedience. "Well, I know better, God." Oh, I was very stubborn growing up. I'm not now, but I was very stubborn growing up. "I know better. I know what to do. I'm smarter than you." I'm not. We know a lot, but we don't act on it sometimes. Maybe God's already spoken to you about forgiving. Maybe he's spoken to you about giving. Maybe he's spoken to you about serving, inviting, confessing. We're asking for a new direction while ignoring the last one. "Oh, God, I didn't really like that one. Give me something else." Imagine if we did that at Christmas time when we opened our Christmas presents. "Mom and Dad, I didn't really like that one. Can I get a different one?" Probably. So what do we got to do? We got to turn down the noise a little bit. we're going to hear God's voice, turn down the volume of everything else. Slow down. Take a couple deep breaths. Carve out some space in your day and listen carefully. If we were to go outside right now, I got another story to tell. But stop telling stories. My friend Matthew and I, we would walk the tracks to get across the rail bridge to get to a cliff to climb to get to what they call Sioux Mountain. We have walked these tracks hundreds of times, climbed this cliff hundreds of times, done the hiking trail hundreds of times, in groups, whatever. And, you know, being in Sioux Lookout, growing up there, it's a CN rail town. There's always trains. Every hour, there's a train. Half hour going west, half hour going east. That was the routine for the longest time. Plus the train yard. They're always moving cars around. Always hear an engine. And so we are walking back to his house, coming down the mountain. And we're walking on the tracks. And we're going across the bridge. And we're walking down like this. Because you have to space your steps to hit on the railway ties because there's gaps. And if anyways, you get the idea. You're not allowed to do that anymore. It's illegal. Don't go do it. If you do, don't take pictures. So we're walking there. We're just chatting, watching our steps. Yeah, what did you think of that movie the other night? Yeah, National Treasure. That's like my favorite movie now. Yeah, it was a good movie. I really like this. It's good times. And all of a sudden, we hear this train in the distance. We can hear the engines revving, and you hear the cars creaking, and yeah. And I just happened to just pause in a thought, and I just looked up, and I said, Matthew, there's a train. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, Matthew, we're on a train bridge. Oh! There's like this big moment. The conductor and the engineer were laughing pretty good at us in that moment as we, we're running off the bridge. Good times. Those sounds of the train was always there. We just got so used to the noise, we didn't pay attention to it. Many times it's like that with God. He's always speaking, but we just don't pause enough to listen. I say, God, would you just speak? Bill will quote this verse, Psalm 46:10. What does it say? See, I told you could quote it. He says it all the time. Be still and know that I am God. That's my point exactly. It's hard to be still sometimes. Be still and know that I'm God. Just having a moment at work, just if you're sitting at a desk or whatever you're doing, just pause. Close your eyes if you have to. Take a deep breath and if you can, just put your hands out. Okay, God, your servant is listening. Many ways that God speaks, sometimes it's the way we least expect it. And you can find this example in 1 Kings, Elijah, 1 Kings 19:12. There's a moment, Elijah's exhausted. I mean, he's just been working hard for the Lord. He's been through the ringer a few times and people are trying to kill him, and the people of God aren't listening to him, and they're following other gods. He's running for his life. He's afraid. He's like, I need to hear from God. Am I doing what am I supposed to be doing? Like, my life is not going the way that I planned right now and the way that I thought it would go. And here I am just trying to be obedient to the Lord, and they're trying to kill me for it. God, I need a sign. I need to hear from you. There's a powerful wind, and we go, there's a strong wind. Must be God, and there's nothing. And back of the story, God said, go and I will speak to you. And so this wind comes up and Elijah hears the wind. He said, God, I didn't hear anything in the wind. And then there's like this mighty earthquake. And God, is like, go away from me. I'm going to speak. And this big earthquake comes. Like, okay, the ground is shaking, God. Clearly, this is you. What do you have to say? Silence. A big fire breaks out. Oh, Moses, God spoke to Moses through the fire. This must be God. And the fire burns, and Elijah's there, and he's listening. He doesn't hear anything. God wasn't in any of those things. But we read in 1 Kings 19:12, after the fire. It's important to look at this word after. After the wind, after the earthquake, after the fire. After all the chaos, as Elijah's standing there waiting, It says, after the fire came a gentle whisper. Why would God speak in a whisper? If I didn't have the microphone to whisper into, you wouldn't hear from me. So let's make someone uncomfortable today. Front row Harrison. Do you trust me? There you go. I'm not going to whisper any closer to his ear. I don't want Rebecca to get jealous. But in order to hear a whisper, what has to happen? You have to be close. In order to hear a whisper, you have to be close. And so when God speaks in a whisper, it's in the quiet moments. Because he wants us to lean in. The whole point of creation was that we would be close with God. The whole point of Jesus coming to restore creation is to restore the relationship between us and God. And so God often speaks in a whisper because he wants us to get close. Not to confuse us, but to draw us closer. Jesus promised us in John that that he is the good shepherd and the sheep know his voice. So what do we need to do? We ask him to speak, listen to what he says, and do what he tells you to do. And maybe your prayer is the same as Samuel. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. We head to Revelation, the end of the Bible, 3:20. Jesus gives to John this revelation of the gospel. Incredible story. There's some heartbreaking moments in there as well, and you read through Revelation 3, and there's a number of letters that are written to the churches. And there's this letter written to the church in Laodicea in Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, I'm standing at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice, open the door. I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Now, if you read through that, you know what Jesus said before this moment. And of course, this is written to the whole church. He's literally standing on the door of the church, knocking on the door of the church saying, let me in. How heartbreaking is that? That the church that exists to be the hands and feet of Christ, and Jesus is on the outside of that church saying, hey, let me in. You forgot something. Message for another day. But there's a personal side to this as well. You know, they weren't against Jesus, but I think they were just complicit in their faith. They became apathetic in their faith. They weren't passionate. And he reminds them of the promises that he's done for them, and a white robe to cover their shame, a white robe to cover their nakedness. And he reminds them of the healing that they have received and the vision that he's given them that he restored so that they could see. You could read that for yourself. And right before Revelation 3:20, pay attention to this line. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. The word tells us no discipline is pleasant at the time, but it reaps a harvest of plenty. Get a message for another day, but relevant for us today. So be earnest and repent. If Jesus speaks, it brings connection. It's because he loves us and wants the best for us. If we've been drifting away from him, he just says, repent. If I've been going this way, repent and go this way. He says, I'm just standing at the door. I'm waiting. I'm ready for you. For whatever step that I have for you next, I'm ready to take you with me. I want to be with you. I want to be where you are. Just like a young man pursuing his bride, I want to be where you are. You know, I do a lot of weddings. We celebrate the wedding because it's a reflection of Christ in the church. We are his bride and he pursues us relentlessly. He's calling out to us relentlessly, consistently, persistently. And he says, let me in. I have unlimited potential for you. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, if you open the door, he says, I will come in and I will eat at your table. I will eat with that person and they will be with me. And when he's speaking, we listen. When he's knocking, open the door because he wants to be with you. Even if you hear things you don't want to hear, he gives us a strategy. He says, okay, you hear the things you don't want to hear. If it's a rebuke and if it's discipline, he says, just be earnest and repent. It's not a magic formula. It's not difficult to do or to say, but he offers us a new hope and a new life because he wants to be where we are. He wants to be so close for us to hear his whisper. And so as we close today, would you do me a favor and would you just stand one more time before we leave? And just close your eyes just for a minute. I think we had some pretty good moments in worship this morning just to pause, and maybe God spoke something to you. The other thing, I didn't quote it from Habakkuk, but when God speaks, write it down. That's what Habakkuk did. He says, write down the vision. Write down what God says. Because there's an enemy that wants to rob, kill, steal, and destroy your life and who you are. He wants to take away the joy that God is bringing to you, has brought to you. And so when God speaks, write it down so that you, one, remember it. But when you're having a moment of doubt or a crisis of faith, you can go back to that word that Jesus gave you. But let me just pray over you today. God, we know that you speak. Lord, you sent Jesus to be the bridge, to be the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Jesus, would you continue to speak to your people? And just like the end of every letter in the church in Revelation, where they said, give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. Lord, we know that you speak through your word. We know that you speak through the Holy Spirit. And so give us ears to hear what you have to say. Lord, in the chaos and the busyness and the routines of our lives, I pray that we would pause long enough to hear you speak. I pray that when you give us a rebuke or discipline, you'd give us the courage to repent and to move forward. I pray that when you knock on the door, we'd have the courage to open it and be clothed in your righteousness again. Lord, I thank you for the fact that we can come to you in every season, in every situation of our lives. I pray that when you speak, you want us to listen. And Lord, we may know it, that your way is better. But I pray, Lord, from this moment on, we wouldn't just know that your way is better, but we would experience your ways. That your kingdom truly would come here on earth as it is in heaven. Not because we know it, but because we experience it. And so begin to speak to us, O Lord. As you begin to speak to us, help us to listen. Help us to hold on to faith. Build our faith. And let your Spirit speak clearly. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.